As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove. There's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. And welcome to our Tuesday, July the 26th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news. Hard facts and workable solutions for you each and every day. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com, engage in our chat room discussion. Or you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to be part of that 512 conspiracy. Or you can call from around America and around the world at 866, toll-free, 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You can also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email. The email basket's overflowing. BVLhost@centurytel.net. BVLhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts. Post Office Box 96, snail mail the old fashioned way. P.O. Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri. 65647. Again, you spell that E-X-E-T-E-R. Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. A big shout out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 16, and TalkStreamLive.com. Lots of ways to listen to the broadcast each and every day. Listener call-in number again, 866-841-1065. Drag out your Sharpie, write it on the side of the refrigerator, and remember that number. Maybe you get a tat on your palm or something. 866-841-1065. Precious metals stabilize. Debt deal stalls. Miners strike for part of the action. Talk about all of that in the market report. Recession, depression. Yeah. It's affecting everybody. Solar-powered paper. GE creates jobs in China. Ron Paul 2012. Well, we'll talk about that too in the news basket. The new world of Henry St. Simon. The positive science. Communal ghosts. Lots of stuff laid out here for you today. Of course, we'll take your calls throughout the broadcast and much, much more. Let's go to our market report for this morning, Tuesday, July the 26th, 2011. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, but an hour ago found gold trading off $3.30 at $1,611.50. A troy ounce for Aurum, that precious noble metal. Silver this morning, Argent, up 12 cents. At $40.51 an ounce. Wow, you gotta like $40 silver. Platinum up a buck at $1,787. Palladium up $7 at $811. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning. $1,607 for a low, $1,618.60 for a high. But at $1,611.50, your gold is up year to year $429.90 an ounce. For a 36.37% return on your investment, and even George Soros can't pull that one together. The London Gold Fix this morning. The boys in London, the London Bullion Market Association, you can find them on the web, LBMA.org. They set the price at $1,610, and it's been trading a little above it, a little below that all morning. The SPDR gold shares overnight unchanged, claim to hold 1,241.77 metric tons. In their electronic treasure chest, valued on the State Street at $64.4 billion. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed off 88 at 12,593. The NASDAQ off 16, closing out at 2843. And the S&P 500 down 8 at 1337. We'll be right back.
Hey, Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, July the 26th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Again, you can bookmark becomevocallocal.com. Just log on there, jump into our chat room. You'll find a lot else on my website. Not very web techy and savvy and all that sort of stuff. Just have that up there for the chat room mostly. But anyway, you're certainly welcome to join us in that fashion. The call-in number again remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Again, gold, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time an hour ago, trading out of New York City at $1,611.50 an ounce, off $3.30 this morning. Silver up 12 cents at $40.51 an ounce at 40.51. Said that already. Well, platinum at up a buck at 1787, and palladium up seven at $811 an ounce. Again, the Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed off 88. Everybody's looking forward to the usurper and the boner getting together and coming up with a death plan. Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, off 88 at 12,593. The Nasdaq off 16 at 28,43, and the S&P 500 closing out at off 8 at 13,37 this morning. Crude oil up 54 cents a barrel at $99.74 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude delivered as it is in Cushing, Oklahoma. The U.S. dollar index this morning off another 52 basis points at 73.59, impacts the foreign exchange rates here in the North American Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement. The Canadian loonie up 46 basis points. Exchanges against the U.S. buckaroo at $1.06. The Mexican peso up strong, up 50 basis points and still at 9 cents. Chapis, your multiplier there is 11.5903 pesos per dollar. The euro this morning up 71 basis points at $1.45. British pound up 70 at $1.64. And the Swiss franc up 45 basis points at $1.25 U.S. So it's up there. It certainly is. The bond market this morning, the yield on the U.S. treasuries, your bonded indebtedness, the yield on the 2 years are 0.40%. The 10-year yield is at 3.00 and the 30 at 4.31%. In the mortgage markets, the fixed-rate mortgages this morning moving up a little bit, reversing this downward and almost flat trend, moving up from 3.62% a month ago this morning in the 15-year fixed-rate mortgages to 3.65 on a national average. The 30-year moves up from 4.44% to 4.53%. Your gold-to-silver ratio stands at 39.79 ounces of silver to bring home 1 ounce of gold. In these spot prices, in the Econoday calendar today, things are kind of moving along rather slowly. Not a tremendous amount of activity happening in here, but we're going to have the Goldman store sales, the Red Book, Case-Shiller home price index is out, and we're going to cover all of that along with consumer confidence in the new home sales tomorrow. The Mortgage Bankers Purchase Apps report will be out. Durable goods is out. Petroleum status report on Thursday. Jobless claims will come out. The Comfort Index will be out. Pending home sales index. And then on Friday, we'll close out the week with the gross domestic product, employment cost index, et cetera. So there's still plenty more on the economic calendar to influence these markets throughout the week. Let's go into consumer confidence. This is the way it looks here. The Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index in June fell significantly for a second straight month, down more than 3 points to 58.5. The assessment of the present situation dropped 1.7 points to 37.6, while the expectations measure declined 4.3 points. Anyway, that's your Consumer Confidence Index. It's not doing too well here. How about the new home sales? New home sales fell 2.1% in May, down to 319,000 annualized pace. Supply in terms of monthly dips of months dipped slightly to 6.2 months. And they got 6.2 months where the houses laying out there waiting to be sold. Got two houses here in Exeter not far from me. Builder was really optimistic, jumped right in there last year and started building the houses. They've been sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. The grass is 2 feet high. The weeds are growing up around it. The signs are tipped over. Drove by the other day. Got garbage thrown out the back. Anyway, those houses aren't selling. Here we go. The S&P Case-Shiller HPI. Home prices show little change in May. Little change. Just a little change, Barry. In May, based on the Case-Shiller index, whose adjusted composite rose 0.1%. That's 1/10 of a penny, folks. That's not much. This is a 3-month average that includes a revised 0.4% rise for April and a minus 0.3% for March. Things ain't looking too good there. Let's jump to the next one. The ICSC Goldman store sales. Hot weather gave a boost. You looking for an excuse? Any excuse will do. Hot weather gave a boost to seasonal sales during the July 23rd week. Well, that's what they say, but what does the Red Book say? Retail sales slowed a bit in the July 23rd week. So things aren't looking too rosy out at the grocery stores, down at the mall, and other places. Well, you know, they say funny money, fiat money. I guess they're going to get into that at MIT, too. Solar-powered iPads seen as MIT's advanced cells are printed on paper. My God. Can't even get a solar cell these days. What a mess. Got these solar cells all over the roof, and it rained, and that was the end of that. Anyway, Oliver Rennick writing this one for Bloomberg. The next generation of solar cells may be printed on ordinary paper. Talk about cutting corners. Cutting costs. The engineers at Massachusetts Institute. What do you need a solar-powered piece of paper for anyway? You're healthy, right? Better, maybe. Maybe it's got a little, it's got one of those little, spell checkers in it or something. I don't know. Engineers at Massachusetts Institute of Technology have created ultra-thin paper cells that gather enough juice to power an LCD clock and can be glued to a briefcase, stapled to a hat, or folded into a pocket. Yeah, you can do all kinds of things with these little paper cells. Of course, an LCD clock, I bought one of those many years ago for my truck when LCDs were just coming on, and stick it on the dashboard. It ran fine, off a little lithium battery for, 10 years, 15 years. Finally, it died. But now they're going to put them on a piece of paper. Rather than confining solar power to rooftops or solar farms, paper photovoltaics can be used virtually anywhere, making energy ubiquitous, said Karen Gleason, the Associate Dean of Engineering Research at MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and the leader of the team that produced the cells. Paper cells would have the potential to create a new market based on the popularity of low-power electronic devices that are now mostly fed by batteries, such as the Apple Incorporated's iPad. Of course, this is kind of almost like an advertisement for the iPad. It's all over the news this morning. And mobile phones, said Jeffrey Benick, the director of research at Kaufman Brothers LP, a New York-based investment firm. Well, it's not competing with traditional solar panels out there at all, Benick said in a telephone interview. The new technique, the research funded by Eni S.p.A., Italy's biggest oil company, was described by MIT engineers in a paper. He didn't say whether it was a solar-powered paper, but it was published on July the 8th in the Journal of Advanced Materials. Competitors racing to develop other low-cost, flexible cells include Solarmar Energy and others. Paper solar cells. Well, it's all fiat money to me, baby.
Know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Yeah, everybody's heard about Andy Wallaby's three-step plan. Well, Johnny Boner's got his two-step plan. It seeks to $1 trillion to $1.6 trillion debt increases. Anyway, it goes like this from James Rowley. House Speaker John Boner said his two-step plan to raise the U.S. debt ceiling and cut and cap discretionary spending is a responsible, common-sense proposal that meets our obligations to the American people and preserves the full faith and credit of the U.S. The Republican plan would allow a debt limit increase of $1 trillion to be followed later by another $1.6 trillion, while larger spending cuts would be required. The plan is far from perfect, they say, but it adheres to our principles of ensuring the spending cuts are greater than any debt hike and includes no tax increases, Boner, an Ohio Republican, said in a statement. And I scrolled down and there was no more of the article. Scroll down, just ads. That's it. Wallaby's got his plan. Boner's got a two-step plan, but it's pretty scanty. Not a lot there for detail. Anyway, let's go over to Missouri here and go to Ron in Missouri. Say good morning, Ron.
Hey, good morning. I'm no expert in financial stuff, okay, but I got a question for you.
All right, go ahead. I'm not an expert either. Let's see if we can find out by common sense.
Okay, is it my understanding that the banks get the Social Security check several days in advance to earn interest? That's why they agreed to do the direct deposit and so forth.
Well, I don't know because I don't have any Social Security in my life at all, but if the banks receive the checks a couple of days in advance electronically, certainly they would not only be able to receive the interest, but because it's a deposit, they should be able to apply the multiplier to it and loan out money against it.
Which leads me to my question, if the government allegedly, and I use the term loosely, is going to shut down on the second, and the banks already have the Social Security checks in their possession, and what happens if the government decides not to release Social Security checks, which we know they're going to, but let's just say they're not. Does the bank get to keep the money?
No, there would probably be no money. They wouldn't clear if they weren't approved for dispersal. The checks would probably not clear. I don't know, but it's all electronic stuff anyway. But I think the point is well made when you think about it from the standpoint of how many days is it on their books before it's actually released or available to you. And that would be an incentive.
Yeah.
That would be money that the banks could make for the privilege or the opportunity to make those checks available to you.
That's what I was always told, and I never knew if it was true. And the only reason why every once in a while our bank is kind of goofed and we've gotten ours 2 or 3 days early, and I've never went up there to collect it. I figure I'll leave well enough alone, but it is just kind of interesting that that has happened. And I know for a fact when they were in the mail system, a friend of mine, the postal guy, gave him his check 2 or 3 days early. Then he came back a couple hours later and says, hey, I wasn't supposed to give that to you. I need that back. And my friend says, well, I'm not giving it back. He goes, well, you got to give it back. He says, you deliver it to me, dude. It's mine.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, then there's there's another part of the mix, too. You know, the banks loan to each other, but they have overnight rates, too, the London Interbank overnight rate. And you can make
right.
You know, if you're in the business of creating money out of thin air, you know, just lending it into existence and multiplying it, fractional reserve banking, you know, you can make a lot of digit entries on money every time you make a deposit. So the more days that, you know, it's on deposit, it's just like when they send out you probably have seen it in your bills, you know, whether it's your power bill or telephone bill or whatever it is. they're changing the dates and going from the 15th to the 13th. They want to hold that money a couple of days longer in their bank accounts before they have to deposit and make their payments, you know. So everybody's trying to rake a little off the top right now.
You know, since you said that, anybody new getting Social Security, remember it used to be the first or the third, depends on whichever program you was on. Well, now they have changed that. It coincides with the week of your birthday.
The day of your birth?
That's
the day you get your check?
Right. Now, a friend of mine got caught in this mess with the power company because, just say it was the 26th because I can't remember her birthday. Well, they would not change her billing date. She actually had to get a letter from Social Security stating, you know, when she got her check, then they finally agreed to do it.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've seen, and I can understand the diabolical nature behind it, and that is that as the various different, you know, like your credit card bills and like I said, your phone bill and the other utility bills, as they start to change these dates, it makes it more difficult for people who are on fixed incomes or on salaries to be able to make their payment without incurring a late charge or a fee. And so I would imagine that a prudent man would set money aside this month so that he could make his bills on time next month to avoid those penalties. Well, what that does is it helps to put money into the banks and hold it for 20, 25, 30 days while people,
there's another problem you may not be aware of either. On some of these programs, if you do that, you know, you put money aside, like you said, then they count as income against you because you didn't spend it. Then they'll take away whatever program you're getting.
Well, that's the way government operates, too. They run fiscal year to fiscal year, and they have to exhaust all of the funds that they had set aside or budgeted for themselves.
I mean, you as an individual, what I'm saying to you is, okay, let's say that, you know, we have enough money, and say we put all of the money back this month for the bills for next month.
Right.
Well, if they decide that this is your month that they're going to review your Social Security, whatever, and you have that extra money, oh, well, you don't need it. Goodbye, and they throw you off.
Well, that's the truth, too. You know, it's Medicare, Medicaid, Part A, Part B. You know, you can't show any kind of prosperity and still be on the dole. That's a fact.
Yeah, and then what amazing is then the government, you know, we hear them, we want you to start saving. I went, okay, you want us to save, but then when we do save, then you want to count it against us. I'm like, you all speak with forked tongue.
They do, and I wouldn't put a penny more into the bank than you actually need to get by for a couple of months.
Absolutely. Hey, by the way, there's a good book I just finished reading. It was a BBC PBS series called The Ascent of Money, and it's a really good series and book. If you haven't seen either one or read the book, I've done both. And they did a very good job explaining the whole mess of the money. I mean, way back before the Roman days. I mean, they really go into a good history of it. And they do it. It's done from the BBC. So, you know, to me, it's done a lot better than some that was done here where you have all the goofy people trying to tell you you can't say this word and that word, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, if you want to find out all about money, go to the City of London. I'm sure they could tell you the story better than anyone else. The Ascent of Money by BBC. I'll look for that.
Yeah, it's really good, and it's an audio book, it's a print book, and it's a BBC series. I found it online, and it's a really good, it's about, the documentary was about 8 hours.
Wow.
And they did a very good job, I mean, putting it down in a pretty basic language, and once they explained the banker's language, then they kind of redid it and explained it into our language. And they did a very good job of it.
And it is an audio book, too, for those that have sight impairment. Is that right?
Yep. I found it at our public library on CDs. And I don't know if it's in the Library of Congress, but I know, by the way, you may not be aware of another program. If you use your public library and they don't have something, they have what they call interlibrary loan. They can get stuff from all over the country.
Yes, I've used that before. It's very handy.
Oh, absolutely. I've gotten documentaries like that Century of the Self from the BBC. I found that one. I think I got that one out of Colorado. And that's another good one to read, listen to, or watch, whatever, if you haven't done that one, Century of the Self. And it goes into the whole thing of advertising, and it's another BBC production. And it's another thing where they show how advertisement and government got together, what they wanted people to believe during the 20s, 30s, and 40s. And it's really another good program.
Well, it sounds fascinating. I appreciate your sharing that with us this morning, Ron, and thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye for now.
looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com. TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic Enerfood, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Also, of course, GE moves their, you know, their chief executive officer, Jeffrey Immelt, into the White House to be part of the Jobs Council. And they announced this morning, GE moves 115-year-old X-ray units based to China to tap growth. Well, making jobs all right. They're just not making them here. Rachel Lane writing this one for Bloomberg. General Electric Company's healthcare unit, the world's biggest maker of medical imaging machines, is moving the headquarters of its 115-year-old X-ray business to Beijing to tap growth in China. A quote-unquote handful of top managers will move to the Chinese capital, and there won't be any job cuts, said Anne LeGrand, vice president and the general manager of X-ray for GE Healthcare, in an interview. The headquarters will move from Wisconsin amid a broader parent company plan to invest about $2 billion across China, including opening 6 customer innovation and development centers. The move follows the introduction earlier this year of GE's healthcare Spring Wind. So we got, let's see, the Arab Spring, Muslim Brotherhood, and then Spring Wind. Butterflies welcome spring. I mean, it's Spring Wind initiative to develop and distribute medical products and services in China. Well, Ron Paul's doing all right. Seemed to be raising enough money to ride around in a private jet. Of course, you'll have to pay taxes on that. Ron Paul rides in private jet in Iowa. His money flows into his 2012 campaign. This by John McCormick. 2-hour drive between Ames and Cedar Rapids. two key Iowa cities for the Republican presidential candidates competing in the state that will host the first balloting next year. Ron Paul flew by private jet. I guess he's not doing the rickshaw route this year. The hop between campaign appearances yesterday by the Texas congressman and Federal Reserve opponent aboard a West Wind jet is symbolic of the heightened resources and support he enjoys compared with his quixotic bid 4 years ago. Now in his third White House try, Paul is given a little chance by political analysts of emerging as Barry the Usurper's 2012 challenger. Yet in Iowa, where the February the 6th caucuses start the nomination process, he has a committed and well-funded network that some say may be capable of an upset at the August 13th Iowa straw poll anyway. And that's Ron Paul in the business, flying in jets. French people, it's an important study here now, French people rival Americans as the world's most depressed WHO study finds. WHO? WHO? Not when, not Jabo, but WHO? That's be the World Health Organization. Oliver Rennick writing this one for Bloomberg. More people reported being depressed in France and the U.S. than anywhere in the world. Mighty damn depressing if you ask me. According to interviews of more than 89,000 people in 18 different countries, the study, sponsored by the World Health Organization, or WHO, found that 21% of people in France and 19.2% of the people in the United States have reported having an extended period of depression within their lifetimes. I sure as the hell have. The Vietnam War to today, not a damn thing has changed. On average, 15% of people in high-income countries reported having an episode. An episode. Is that like Dancing with the Stars or something? Depression affects nearly 121 million people. I'm going to have a beer. How about you? But a shot of scotch. Is a second leading contributor to shorter lifespans and poor health for individuals 15 to 44 years of age. You have a 15-year-old that's depressed. Go outside, man. Take a bat and a ball and have a good day. Get your skateboard and get some sunshine. According to the Geneva-based WHO, the higher percentage of depression reported by people in wealthier countries may reflect differences in societal expectations for a good life. That's a really, really good life, isn't it? Well, Vietnam Prime Minister Dung reelected the second term. I guess they just didn't get enough Dung the first time around. Anyway, he wins 94% of the vote. Bloomberg News writing this one. Vietnam reelected Prime Minister Nguyen Tan Dung. He wanted some more of that brown dung to a second five-year term today. Five-year term in a single candidate vote. Oh, well, you only got one candidate, I guess. He's either going to win or lose. It'd be embarrassing if he lost, wouldn't it? Dung was chosen by 94% of lawmakers. I'm resisting. Everybody was in favor of Dung. They wanted more of it. They wanted more. According to Du Van Chen, on the one hand we got Dung, now we got Du Van Chen, the head of the body's ballot monitoring committee. Who needs to bother? I mean, if anybody voted, he won, right? He only needs one to win. He was the only candidate running who announced the results in Hanoi. The confirmation clears the way for Dung. Now we got talking Dung. Dung to announce a new cabinet. Next week. Now we got a box of dung. Anyway, and they're going to vote according to a schedule given to reporters. Quote, the party chose to maintain stability in sticking with dung. I got a box full of sticky dung. All right. Raymond Burghardt, the former American ambassador to Vietnam, who is director of seminars at the East-West Center in Honolulu. Quote, by keeping the leadership stable, that avoids unpredictable consequences. That's right. They call it a dictatorship or a monarchy. But it also means that they're putting their faith in an approach that has tended to favor state-owned enterprises over the development of a strong private sector. Oh, that's what happens in communist countries. Anyway, during Dung's first term, the government's economic policies faced criticism from groups such as the International Monetary Fund, and it continued. State-owned enterprises, Dung also came under fire for the near collapse of state-owned Vietnam shipbuilding industry group last year. With at least one lawmaker calling for a no-confidence vote on his leadership, Dung and other leaders Boy, they're really full of dung over there, aren't they? Acknowledged shortcomings in managing Vietnam shipbuilding. Dung's cabinet choices will include van bins. And now we got a bin of dung in cabinets, or cabinets. Dung's cabinet includes a bin. As leaders of the central bank, according to the three people with knowledge of policy decisions. And it continues. Positive sign. It's a positive sign that Dung has taken moves that are probably unpopular. So now we've got unpopular Dung and a whole cabinet full of it, including a bin. All right. Margaret Hildebrand, a Singapore-based economist at J.P. Morgan Chase, said, quote, the issue now is whether what's his personal willingness to put his reputation on the line to make the tough decisions to slow inflation and get investor confidence back. So more and more investors are going to have confidence in Dung. That's good, right? Vietnam also named Troing Tan Sang, you know, we get Sang and Bin and Dung, a Politburo member and the Communist Party's head of the Secretariat as president yesterday. Well, and then we have Nguyen Sinh Hung. So now we've got Hung and Sang and Bin and Dung. All right. Wow. Dung has drawn some lessons from the previous term. Well, so we've got smart Dung now. It'll be better in the next term if he speeds up. So now we've got fast Dung. Smart, fast Dung, speeds up the privatization process and reforms the governance structure. Dung, who's from the Mekong Delta, province of Cao Mau, was first elected as prime minister in 2006 under Dung. So now we're buried under the Dung. Vietnam joined the World Trade Organization. Well, that's what's happening in Vietnam. Anyway, global mining strikes threaten commodity prices. It's been off of Bloomberg as well. Jesse Riseborough and Sonia or Soraya Permatasari, Soraya. Wow, hey, Soraya. Down, babe. South African gold miners plan to join workers across three countries. So it's workers of the world unite. Over pay and disrupting production of the raw materials from mines owned by BHP Billiton, Extra PLC, and Anglo-American PLC. So if you've got mining shares in your portfolio, check them carefully. More than 200,000 gold miners will add to striking coal and diamond workers this week after wage talks failed. South Africa's National Union of Mine Workers said, all right, so workers can easily see growing margins, and particularly in this earnings season, as we are seeing very strong numbers coming through. John Meyer, an analyst at Fairfax IS in London, said today by phone, quote, miners work jolly hard for their money. They're strong guys. They do tend to be a little bit more militant, and they know that they hold the key to production. And that's the truth. You don't have any miners, you're not bringing out the gold. Italian government notes tumble after demand declines as sale of debt. So we've got all the little pigs here. Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain. All right. Italian government notes tumble. So it's like a domino effect going on. Lucy Meekin and Paul Dobson writing this one. Italian notes fell after demand slid at a debt sale. People come out to a debt sale anyway. Buy some debt. I'm here to buy debt. Signaling renewed concern that last week's European Union agreement on aid for Greece may fail to stem the region's fiscal crisis. And it goes on and tells you all about the failing Italian bond market. Oil at $120 becomes the biggest energy bet as futures leave forecasters behind. We've been telling you this for a long time. Lindsay Williams has been talking about $120 oil for a long time, but I guess finally getting into mainstream. Margaret Habibi, writing this one for Bloomberg. The biggest bet in the oil market has become a 20% increase to $120 by the end of the year. Prices are going up and your wages are falling.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm.
Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
And so here in America, in the middle of the driving and holiday season, you know, summer vacation and all that, you know, they got gasoline and diesel stacked to the ceilings. Every pot, every pan, every bucket is full of oil. We're awash in oil in America, but the prices just keep going up. Who's driving it? Well, oil demand will rise to a record next year, driven by China. And this is one of these developing countries. You know, they're subsidized by us. And, of course, tomorrow morning, for the first hour of the broadcast, we'll be joined by Amanda Teagarden of OK Safe. We're going to talk about her recent trip up to Utah, where she attended this regional governor's conference. And I look forward to that discussion with her tomorrow morning. I hope you'll join us then. But again, oil demand will rise to record next year, driven by China. That's right. It's all about demand. This whole system is driven by demand. So if you're out there and you're investing in commodities like oil, well, now you know where the profit center is. Drought withers the smallest U.S. hay crop in a century to boost cost of beef. Well, I'll tell you what, just step out in the yard here in sunny southwest Missouri. Take a look at my yard. You'll understand what's going down in this article. Things are pretty dry and hot and been that way for a long time. They're still twisting up bales of hay, but they're pretty dry. Not a lot of food content. This is a moisture content. It's not such good hay. It's kind of like just straw. Anyway, here it is. Whitney McFerrin and Jeff Wilson writing this one for Bloomberg. The smallest U.S. hay crop in more than a century, now pay attention, is withering under a record Texas drought, boosting the cost of livestock feed for dairy farmers and beef producers from California to Maryland. I mentioned last week that many of the ranchers, the cattlemen, are selling off their stock, selling off their herd. We talked about the cow-calf business briefly last week. Well, it's continuing. The price of alfalfa. Now, I'll tell you what, alfalfa doesn't do well in the heat. You try and roll up bales of hay, you know, cut, rake, and bale alfalfa, and it's too hot. If it doesn't have a high enough moisture content, all those precious little leaves will fall off to the ground, and all you're raking and baling is just the stems. No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold. Well, anyway, the most common hay variety, alfalfa, surged 51% in the past year, reaching a record of $186 a short ton in May. Government data shows hay and grass make up about half of what cattle eat over their lifetime. So parched pastures are forcing ranchers to find alternative sources of feed, pushing some spot market corn to the highest ever. So we got, you know, Monsanto and Syngenta laying in the background here with their genetically modified corn, and they're going into the ethanol business as opposed to raising beef here. Farmers in Oklahoma and Texas, the biggest producers of hay and cattle, may harvest only one crop from alfalfa and Bermuda grass. Now, Bermuda grass is the same as similar to alfalfa. When that stuff is dry and it's low to the ground, you know, it's very difficult to rake in the first place, really difficult to bale. It's so fluffy. But anyway, if it gets to be too dry, it just blows everywhere as you're trying to, you know, twist up a round bale. Anyway, compared with the three normally, they usually get three cuttings. And I've done a fair amount of riding in the tractor, cutting, raking, baling hay. All right. Anyway, three cuttings is pretty typical. One in the spring, one in the summer, one in the fall. You get three cuts a year, and they're looking at one crop this year. That's one-third of the production. And the middle crop, the summer crop, and the spring crop usually bring in the greatest quantities of hay. So that's bad news. And how's it going to bite your butt? Well, I'll tell you. We're running out of grass, Bo Gazier said. The feedlot manager at Hansford County Feeders said from the telephone from Spearman, Texas. With pastures disappearing, Hansford is moving cattle into his 50,000-head feedlot 3 months earlier than normal, boosting costs as the company buys more corn. Well, guess what? That's going to cost you more for your hamburger. It's going to cost you more for beef in general, and your roasts are going to be more expensive, the whole nine yards. The drought, which is the worst ever in Texas, is compounding a hay shortage caused by farmers shifting this year to more profitable crops, including corn. All right, so as they put more hay ground into corn and less at hay, that means the herd size is going to be depleted. And now, as they're looking at culling out cattle, which would be the older cows, and heifers, that's going to push it down 2 and 3 years down the road, meaning that we're not in, like, it's not going to be over just because we get to the end of the summer. Right? You're going to have cattle standing in the field in order to graze next year, no matter what, whether we got a better, you know, wet winter or dry winter or whatever. So just letting you know, not only is the cost of gasoline and diesel going up, but the cost of beef is going up as well. Well, Soros not doing very well these days financially. Soros, that'd be George Soros to you, is to end a four-decade hedge fund career, all right? This one by Catherine Burton, 40 years. The billionaire George Soros, best known for breaking the Bank of England, is returning money to outside investors in his $25.5 billion firm, ending a career as a hedge fund manager that spanned more than 40 years. Now, it's not like George Soros is going away. He's just paring things back. He's trimming the budget. Soros, who will turn 81 years old next month, will hand back the money, less than $1 billion, by the end of the year, according to two people briefed on the matter. His firm will focus on managing assets solely for Soros and his family, according to a letter to investors Keith Anderson, 51, so on and so forth. We wish to express our gratitude to those who chose to invest capital with Soros Fund Management LLC over the last 40 years. They said in a letter, we trust that you have felt well rewarded for your decision over time. So things are changing. Things are changing. Look in your local newspaper. Take a look at the obituaries. You know, some people say that obituaries are read more than any other section of the newspaper. I certainly check it all the time. And you'll find that people anywhere from 60 to 90 are going bye-bye. And as they go bye-bye, the contract with America, the contract was made with the great generation, that generation that survived World War II and fought in it, those people are dying. And all of those contracts, those people are going off the charts. All right. And that's important because that means that those people with all of their intellect and so on and so forth and their money are out of this picture. And that's not necessarily a good thing. Yesterday just gave you a little bit about Generation IM, www.generation.im.com. Generation IM, Generation Investment Management LLP, is dedicated to long-term investing and integrated sustainability research and client alignment, sent to us by one of our listeners, Mel. Appreciate it, Mel. This is a little bit about us. Generation is an independent, privately owned managing partnership with offices in London, New York, and Sydney. The firm was co-founded in 2004 by who? Al Gore. David Blood. Don't know if he's any relation to Jack. Team, the Generation team of 45 people represents 16 countries and speaks over 10 languages. How's that for cultural diversity? Our investment team was founded by bringing together seasoned investment analysts and leaders from the sustainability research field. Today, these skills are integrated into Generation's team of 21. Isn't that interesting? 21 investment professionals who have over 150 years of combined investment experience. So I guess they have their implementation strategy for Agenda 21. Sustainable investing for the long term. Generation's investment approach is based on the idea that sustainability factors, economic, environmental, social, and governance criteria, will drive a company's returns over the long term. By integrating sustainability issues with traditional analysis, we aim to deliver superior investment returns, including hockey stick models and other things. And then it goes on and talks about their unique research platforms and so on. So with all of that said, give you just a little bit here out of this book I've shared with briefly in the past. The kind of be very careful with this one. It's called Reason and Nature, an essay on the meaning of the scientific method. We've been talking about technocracy, techno-totalitarianism, the new world of Henry St. Simon, the original technocrat, if you will, this new idea, this religion of Newton, gravity, the principle being the underlying and unifying principle of the entire universe. Well, again, this is an essay on the meaning of scientific method by Morris R. Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, and I don't imagine that he was an Irish Catholic. Harcourt Brace and Company published this one, and if I can find it, here it is, 1931, and I have the third printing, 1931, open on my table, hard copy, and it's dedicated to a Mr. Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, the courageous thinker and loyal friend of Mr. Cohen here. And I've shared briefly from Chapter 3, Communal Ghosts and Political Theory in the past, the reality of groups, community organizers, groups. And I'll just dive right in. It would take us far afield to attempt here an adequate account of the enormous literature that has grown up about around the question as to whether the legal personality of associations denotes something real or fictional. All right, so we talk about corporations and corporation nation, and we think of them as legal fictions. And we're going to get into this controversy briefly about communal ghosts, political theory, and the legal fiction of corporations and associations.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, July the 26th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, kicking off the shoreline and moving away from the dock for the second hour of today's two-hour broadcast. In the first hour, went through a variety of news articles right off the Bloomberg website and other sources. Basically, not much happening out there. A lot of fluff stuff and nonsense. But I bring it to you anyway, just so that we can understand where we're at in the great big world we live in. Now, back into this discussion in regards to this very interesting book in my library, Reason and Nature. Reason and Nature, the laws of nature and nature's God. And we're going to talk a little bit maybe about Thomas Jefferson. We have time in the broadcast as well. Of course, back into Henry St. Simon. But again, out of Chapter 3, Communal Ghosts in Political Theory, the reality of groups, a certain awe for the word social is one of the outstanding phenomena of the current intellectual life. Again, this book published back in the 1930s. All right. The triumph and elation and solace with which social nature of man is announced and individualism is denounced seems to presuppose the belief that previous generations were not aware of the fact that men lived together. But long before the word social received its present vogue, you know, socialism, vogue, men reflected profoundly on the nature of the family, economic, political, and religious associations. So man is a group man mentality from the beginning, right? You go up and look at the bobongos or whatever they are, the chimpanzees or apes, whatever they do. They like to screw, I know that. Anyway, so do people. Anyhow, they live in groups and tribes and herds and hordes. But, again, long before the word social received its present vogue, man reflected profoundly on the nature of family, economic, political, and religious association. Now, jumping forward. Again, it would take us far afield to attempt here an adequate account of the enormous literature that has grown up around the question as to whether the legal personality of associations denotes something real or fictional. And if you want to find out lots more about that in the common law and the understanding, you can go, of course, to William Blackstone's Commentaries on the Laws of England. I've got a four-volume set that I got from the University of Chicago Press, hardbound in a box set. Really nice addition to the library. It was very expensive. But nevertheless, anywhere you look, you know, you listen on Internet talk radio, and you'll find lots of people talking about corporations. And, of course, then there's the corporation nation. And every time we're talking about public-private partnerships, we're talking about corporations. And, again, what's all this fear about? As the controversy has, for the most part, been carried on by jurists and historians and not by philosophers. Excuse me. It is full of arguments as to the practical consequences of different theories, but naturally rather deficient in clear analysis of the philosophical principles involved. Of course, this is the home of philosophical radicalism, where I try and take the philosophical point of view. We may indeed eliminate most of the legal considerations by observing that legal personality is quite distinct from natural personality, all right? So you're there in the court, and the courtroom is trying to get you, you know, entangled and embroiled in their criminal justice system. But they're looking at you as that all uppercase, you know, legal fiction, you know, with your name reversed, separated by a comma. But you're capable of bleeding, you know. This is why we say, you know, you're a free man on the land, right? You can bleed. You're flesh and blood creation. You reach down, you can grab up the soil, throw it in a hide, And, you know, now you're a flesh and blood man in reality on the land as opposed to living in this legal fiction. There are natural persons who, for some reason or other, do not possess legal personality at all, e.g. slaves. Slaves. Slaves.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic Enerfood, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we're back into this discussion again from the 1930s, and it goes on this way, just backing up a little bit. The recent rise of the term social psychology. So yesterday, when we were studying Henry St. Simon, we got into this debate, this discussion, you know, about psychology and psychologists and physiologists, etc. And social psychology. The recent rise of the term social psychology. This is the sociology. Right? You put those two words together, and now you know where it came from with August Comte. May have lent some color to a general impression that now at last we've discovered a real social mind distinct from the individual minds of men and women. Of course, we talk about men and women, it's different from talking about persons. But no, surely no scientific psychologist who studies the behavior of men and women in groups makes any such claim. Of course, one of the values of going to these books is for the footnotes, where we find here Wundt, W-U-N-D-T. They are the visit with, let's see. Michael Vale on The Vantage Point has spoken in the past on Wundt, W-U-N-D-T, I do believe, is sometimes referred to as an exponent of this view. And it goes on in the footnote, talks about Durkheim, you know, and these are positivists, all right? As I've mentioned yesterday and in the past, as you dig deeper into an understanding of positivism and begin to track out the individuals, you're going to find positivism everywhere when you look for it, know what you're looking for. Continuing back to this discussion about the slave, that doesn't mean that the slave or the law denies the fact that these natural persons have organs, dimensions, feelings, etc. We talked a little bit about organization yesterday and systems. We'll talk about it again in a moment. But to paraphrase the words of a famous Beatle, not the Beatles Beatle, but a B-E-A-D-L-E, if the law did that, it would be indeed be an ass. On the contrary, most legal systems that allow slavery recognize the natural personality of the slaves and may even protect it to some extent by diverse rules and regulations. You go back and look at the 14th Amendment. Here we are in post-Reconstruction, Avraham Springsteen, America. While denying them legal personality or the right to sue in their own names. And you go back to Title 42 U.S.C. 1981, and you'll find that your civil rights, the Americans are going to know what it's like to have no rights very soon, gave the Negro the same right to sue and be sued in their own names, and they were subject to all the same penalties, taxes, and exactions of every kind. That's really a step forward, wasn't it? Perhaps the distinction between legal and natural personality may be seen even more clearly when we observe that some natural persons, like infants, now, of course, one used to be considered an infant. I was until I was 21. You're not, you know, you weren't a legal person yet until you gained the age of majority, 21. When I was growing up, now it's 18. We used to really be uptight about that because you could go to war in Vietnam and die for your country, but when you were 18, but you couldn't vote. Until you were 21, you couldn't have a beer. Until you were 21, you were old enough to die, but you weren't old enough to drink or vote. Anyway, it used to really tick us off. The Fisk, let's continue. Like infants and women are legal persons for certain purposes and not so for others. And so we can see that this article was written as the women were still swinging their purses and trying to come on with feminism and things like that. They're not legal persons yet. They were still in there with infants. And not so for other purposes. While legal personality may be bestowed to certain funds, the Fisk, fiscal, and foundation, funds and foundations, we just talked about this Generation Investment Management, LLP, to which no one has yet attributed real personality. And yet these legal fictions are able to make donations to candidates and so on and so forth. Whether, therefore, certain groups should be regarded as legal persons is a practical question as to whether they should be made collectively the subject of certain rights and duties. And all that's happened since this book was written. And whether their liability should be limited, is an LLC, an LLP, limited liability corporation. There's a great difference between limited liability and strict liability. Under strict liability, when you motor out onto the roadways, the highways, and go here and there on the byways of America, if you run into somebody, kill somebody's house, or you know, kill somebody's dog or something like that, you know, you're liable for it. But under this limited liability concept where we all buy insurance, state mandated, monopolies, but anyway, you have limited liability. You're only liable for your monthly payments on the insurance and your, what do they call it, deductible. Continuing, whether therefore certain groups should be regarded as legal persons is a practical question, either as to whether they should be made collectively the subject of certain rights and duties, and whether their liability should be limited to the extent of the corporate or collective funds. To what extent is Lloyd Blankfein and the various corporations, you know, Jamie Dimon, etc., to what extent are they liable for the frauds and the crimes against humanity that they've committed and participated in, been complicit in? But the fact that our legal system draws a sharp distinction between the property of the corporation and that of the individual members or owners of it, that'd be your shareholders and the bondholders, does not determine the question of the real personality of the corporation any more than the fact that certain proceedings are brought against the ship and not its owners. Now we're drifting out into Lex Mercatoria and Admiralty Law, the laws of the seas and the law of nations, and not its owners determines the question as to whether or not a ship is a person. Can you sue the ship? if it sinks. And then it continues, let us then examine the question as to the personality of groups as a question of fact. When we take a unified nation like France or an established church like the Roman Catholic or a society like the Jesuit order, there seems a clear prima facie case for saying that not only are there Frenchmen, etc., but over and above these, there is the spirit or ghost of France, of the Roman Church, or of the Society of Jesus, which endures while individual men come and go. And so in the past, we've talked about this idea, this overlay, this appearance of reality that overlays our states. Of course, we identified that we, the people, are the state, and then the people of the state institute governments among themselves to secure the blessing of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All right? That's the flesh and blood man on the land. This is your legal definition. This is what can be surveyed in with a meets and bounds description, and you can set corners on all the corners of your land, your property, or your state. All right? That's one area. That's the reality of it all. That's the man and the woman. And then you've got this overlay, this appearance of reality that becomes the state. Okay? And it's a completely different thing. So let's continue. He says here, omitting the supernatural claims of the Catholic Church and viewing the matter from the naturalistic point of view, it seems quite clear that this contention for real group personality may be regarded as either true or false according to the meaning which we attach to the word personality. If we mean to assert that every group has distinctive group marks and that there is something uniting the different individuals so that they act differently from what they would if they were not so interdependent, there's no use of the word, no one can well deny such a reality, whether you call it personality or give it any other name. But if it is asserted that the French nation and the Roman Church literally have all the characteristics of those we all ordinarily call persons, that the state is masculine and that the church is feminine, according to Bluntschli, we are dealing with the kind of statement which is believed because it is absurd. Pick that up after this. Stay tuned.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something, seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So along the idea that we've been laying out here, the groups, the ghost of the group, you know, the ghost of France, the ghost of the Jesuits, the ghost of the church. This is this appearance of reality, all right? There's the legal fiction that is there, that exists, all right? But here, let's jump over here to this one, Light and Liberty, from Thomas Jefferson by Eric Peterson. I intend to get this gentleman on. We're going to talk, but I'm working out an outline of things I want to bring up with him. We exist, Thomas Jefferson writing, we exist and are quoted as standing proof that a government so modeled as to rest continually on the will of the whole society is a practicable government. He's talking about the flesh and blood man here. Were we to break it to pieces, it would damp the hopes and the efforts of the good and give triumph to those of the bad through the whole enslaved world. As members, now key now, word here now, Thomas Jefferson lived well before, you know, died well before Henry St. Simon was writing, even though they are contemporary. Again, as members, therefore, of the universal society of mankind. That is almost carte blanche, cut, copy, and paste from Henry St. Simon. And, of course, remember that Thomas Jefferson went to France and was there. And he was there at the time that Henry St. Simon was drifting around. And one can only wonder whether Henry St. Simon actually ever made the acquaintance of Thomas Jefferson, or whether things that St. Simon and the St. Simonians and August Comte were advancing were known to Thomas Jefferson. I think so. But as members, therefore, of the universal society of mankind, and standing in high and responsible relation with them, it is our sacred duty to suppress passion among ourselves and not to blast the confidence we have inspired of proof that a government of reason is better than one of force. And we spoke earlier about reason, the age of reason, Thomas Paine. Now, this, you know, you've heard me say many, many times, I've got this idea, you know, it's not original to me, but it's one that I came up with and found it on the independent research myself back in the late 1990s as the solution. What we need to do is get control of our government in order to restore a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government. What we first need to do is to abolish the established two-party political system. Now, it's all based upon precinct by precinct, county by county, state by state, taking it back at the local level. Become vocal local. I didn't come up with this last week. Now here, and I'd never read this before, I got this book, but here from one of the letters written by Thomas Jefferson, this is what he has to say. You know, he's one of the founders. The way to have good and safe government is not to trust it all to one, but to divide it among the many, distributing to everyone exactly the functions he is competent to. It's all based upon your competency. If you're incompetent, like Barry the Usurper, please step down. Let the national government be entrusted with the defense of the nation and its foreign and federal relations. The state governments with the civil rights, laws, police, and administration of what concerns the states generally. The counties with the local concerns of the counties, and each ward direct the interests within itself. What is this ward? Well, when we talk about voting precincts, your local voting precinct, as I've stated many times in the past, it is the fundamental building block upon which our system of government was created. And sometimes a voting precinct is called a township, or award. Award, all right? So again, it is by dividing and subdividing these republics from the great national one down through all its subordinations until it ends in the administration of every man's farm by himself. In other words, we come right down to you in your local voting precinct, whether you're a free man on the land or whether you're living in the city. Everyone who lives inside of one of these miniature political subdivisions known as a precinct, a township, or a ward, right? And it comes all the way back down to you, and it's based upon your ability to govern yourself that we then govern our nation. It goes to the two-way street. By placing under everyone what his own eye may superintend. This is why it's so important to start at the local level by forming a local voting precinct group. If you fail in that, forget all about Washington, D.C. You haven't the competency to govern it. That all will be done for the best. Now listen, the article nearest my heart, again, Thomas Jefferson, is the division of counties into wards. This is absolutely essential. These will be pure and elementary republics, the sum of all which, taken together, compose the state. And so the counties are formed by these precincts here in Berry County, Missouri. We have 19 voting precincts. All right, these are the wards, and then those make up the county, and then the counties combined together, 114 counties, make up the state. And he says, and will make up, and will make of the whole a true democracy as to the business of the wards. And so you probably have heard in the past this concept or this notion of a democracy within republic. All right, and this is exactly what Thomas Jefferson is saying. Now, if you go back and look at Aristotle's Politics, you'll find that for, and you read the writings of Thomas Paine, where he said that we here in this, in the colonies, they envisioned a not a provincial system of government, the provinces, but a continental one in scope. It was continental in scope. You cannot possibly run a democracy in something as vast as the United States of America, all right? Use the words, you know, the term or the style out of the Articles of Confederation, as opposed to the United States, out of the Constitution for the United States. Again, so it goes back, and I'll say it again, these will be pure and elementary republics, the sum of all which taken together composes the state and will make of the whole a true democracy as to the business of the wards. In the wards, much like the Greek city-states, this is an area of sometimes just scant distance. It's all demographic driven. It's based on about the number of people in it. This is one of those smallest places. But this is where a true democracy, if you will, can actually function. And there's a lot more wisdom that he gives us in this book that I understand how that can work and what can and cannot be done and what axioms must follow. But which is that of nearest to the daily concerns. And so we can come together one with another and dialogue in a deliberative assembly using Robert's Rules of Order as a simple method to maintain order and to actually affect business one with another. Right? And in that regard, it is somewhat resembling a democracy, although it really is just a miniature republic. The affair of the larger sections, again, why? Because you have a constitution. You have a charter. You write something up. The affairs of the larger sections of the countries, of states, and of the union, not admitting personal transactions by the people, will be delegated to agents elected by themselves, and representation will thus be substituted. And so we have a constitutionally limited republican form of what? Representative government. Representation, essential, where personal action becomes impracticable. In this way, we shall be as republican as a large society can be and secure the continuance of purity in our government by the salutary, peaceable, and regular control of the people. So it's all based upon the people, and it's all based upon groups, all right? And we're starting to understand this difference of these communal ghosts in political theory, all right? There's these two things that are out there. Again, let's continue. The defenders of real personality of groups like Gerke and Lasky distinguish, of course, between the personality of groups and the personality of natural persons. It's this lack of knowledge which has gotten us into so much trouble. We don't realize, we don't understand this, and they sure as the dickens aren't teaching us this in schools. So when we come back, we'll close out on this idea of personality, then we're going to go into other material that I think you'll find interesting.
Talk radio online worldwide at oraclebroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the oraclebroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so from Thomas Jefferson back into this book, Communal Ghosts and Political Theory, Mr. Cohen writing, C-O-H-E-N, C-O-H-E-N, Cohen, 1930s, all right? Where he continues and he says again, the two kinds of personality they admit are different. And again, these are the groups, the personality of groups and the personality of natural persons. The two kinds of personality, they admit, are different and are called by the same name only because they are real analogies. There are real analogies between them. By stretching the term personality beyond what it ordinarily denotes, they really change its meaning or connotation, precisely as the mathematician has stretched the term number by applying it to surds or real numbers, which are not, in the original sense of the term, numbers at all. And so now we've opened a window, a tiny window, and peeked in to the world of the And I like to call it the obfuscatory linguistics of the logical positivist syntactician, where words are mere symbols, symbols in a language game. And of course, yesterday, we opened a little bit, opined on this from Chapter 25, Data Processing and an Introduction to Business by Gloss and Baker, published in 1967, where we found that a program or a software may be defined as a series of operating instructions, okay? The operating instructions. And so we can see that from the word program, Agenda 21, a program of action for the 21st century. And you in your local voting precinct, likewise, would want to put together a program of action. Not simply reaction. Certainly there would be the reaction because we know the things that we do not want. But we also must have a clear understanding of what it is that we do want so that our energy and our efforts are positive as opposed to purely negative. Again, a program is listed, is prepared by listing in complete detail the logical steps. And then they use machine language and symbolic language. So these words inside of the logical positivist syntactician dialectic are simply symbols in a language game, just as symbolic language in COBOL and Fortran is the machine and the machine language for the IBM 1620 and the IBM 1401 machine language of their day. This is how this all starts to come together. And anybody that's putting it all together is known as an assembler, all right? The computer would translate these symbols, as your computer is your brain, into the correct binary code instructions. The computer can automatically do this translation because a special program known as an assembler has been written. And so you need to be the assemblers of all of this information that's made available to you over these internet radio stations. Once the symbolic program has been converted into a binary code, it can move as electronic impulses into the computer's memory unit. And memorize a lot of this stuff because you're not going to have it if they pull the computer away from you, and especially if you haven't taken the time and invested the money in building your own library. If you're all digital, you're going to be in a world of hurt, in my opinion. The systems concept, again. You can't get into Henry St. Simon's systems and August Comte's systems if we don't understand the systems concept. As the flow chart and its related programs, the flow charts, all right? Before we go into systems, go back and look at the flow chart. A flow chart is a graphic representation of the logical steps to be used in problem solving. And so you would have flow charts for the things that you're going to be doing locally as well. You want a graphic representation of the logical steps to be used in solving a problem. And if you're not willing to go into that, you might as well throw the trivium away because you're not using your logic. The systems concept. As the flow chart and its related program are developed for each data processing operation. So you're always having sets and subsets. All right? It's not just one size fits all. You're going to have to change. You're going to have to be resilient. You'll have to be self-reliant. But you're going to have to be constantly adapting as things come up. And as you know, the frequency, we're dying the death of a thousand cuts, the frequency and the pace and the timing and the tempo is increasing. The systematization of data processing operations for the purpose of what? Of eliminating retranscriptions of data and of limiting the rehandling and resorting of data from one stage to the next is termed integrated data processing, or IDP. All right, integrated data processing, retranscriptions, writing the same thing over and over and over again. Very rarely will you hear my broadcast rehash the same stuff over and over again, except the most important pieces for the just newcomers that are coming on. Every single broadcast is unique from the one before it, but they're all built together step by step by step. All right? We're not rehandling and resorting the same stuff all the time. The term is broadly used and may be applied to a particular group of operations of a company or to its entire operations. When the integrated data processing system is very comprehensive, and watch that word, it is called a master systems plan or a total systems concept. And again, there we go back and we look at what's going on. You have a comprehensive planning and zoning system going in your county and in your cities. All right? All of this stuff, master systems plans. This book, written back in 1967, was laying down the foundations for those that would become business managers, and many of the people that took these courses found their way into governments. so how subsystems may be coordinated into larger integrated data processing plans may be seen then in the following sets. And then they're going to go through and list them all out, sales subsystems and other subsystems. So one more time, back in and continuing. We're seeing where the mathematician has stretched this term personality just as they've stretched number, the idea of number. This tempts us all to conclude that the quarrel between those who believe in the reality of corporate personality and those who believe it is fictional is a quarrel over words. And so we get bogged down in the semantic dialectics of words. It's the tyranny of words, as Lark from Dallas has sometimes pointed out to us. We don't want to allow ourselves to go into that fictional quarrel. For the most distinguished adherent of the fiction theory, Jhering, J-H-E-R-I-N-G, has pointed out the quote, that this use of language of identity for two different things that are in some ways analogous is precisely what constitutes the nature of fiction. But though it is true that a good deal of the controversy would be eliminated if each side defined accurately the meaning of its attached to the term personality, it would be a mistake to conclude that no question of this sort can be merely verbal, because words are most potent influences in determining thoughts as well as actions. And as I've said repeatedly and shared with you on the broadcast, knowledge may indeed be power, but it's never really powerful until you combine your knowledge with action. Otherwise, you just walk around with all this book knowledge in your head, towering along like a lumberhead, all these books stacked on your head. So back into our discussion right out of August Comte now, or excuse me, out of Henry St. Simon. And we drop into the 1814, but from the murky confusions of St. Simon's writing in the period before 1814, one stands out with striking clarity, that the dominant preconceptions of the science of man were to be biological and not mathematical. We scratched around a little bit on this. It's not mathematical, it's biological, all right? Math are numbers. Zeros and ones in Fortran and COBOL and all that. Zeros and ones, mathematics is numbers. We're talking about something that's biological here when we study. Of course, at this time, he was still in this communal theory of, you know, communal ghosts. He wasn't drawing the distinction here between the fictions and the, you know, the reality and the appearance of reality, I should say. But he's talking about it being biological. When you look at man, in all of man's rollouts, you've got to look at man, at least he wanted us to, biologically. In effect, this meant that the science of society would be evolutionary and historical rather than mechanistic. It doesn't have that pragmatism of John Dewey. It's evolutionary and historical. In this respect, St. Simon gave expression to one of the fundamental shifts in thought from the 18th to the 19th century. In 1802, in his project for a worldwide election of the outstanding pre-scientists, the priest-scientists, that'd be like Al Gore, a priest-scientist, right? Albert Einstein, the fraud, a priest-scientist. He was certainly far more about advancing Zionism in his own time than bringing us anything new from science. His wife was the mathematician, if my research is accurate. Anyway, continuing. In 1802, in his project for a worldwide election of the outstanding pre-scientists, now we have like the Nobel Prizes and things like that, the mathematicians were ensconced at the apex of the scientific hierarchy as they would be in a Newtonian 18th century world. And we could just take that word mathematics and just simply say computer, IT, high tech. Make that substitution right there if you wanted. In a Newtonian 18th century world, very much in the spirit of Condorcet, he still thought of mathematics as the foundation of all sciences, including the social sciences. And so now you can understand this idea about how important it is for this biometric identification and for the numbering of every hair on your head and every grain of sand and every blade of grass and every fish in the sea.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic Enerfood, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Now, with the Oracle Broadcasting Android application, you can take Oracle with you on the go. Download the app at OracleBroadcasting.com.
And so, like August Comte after him, Henry St. Simon was well aware, however, that even though that would be his science of man would be more biological than mathematical, he still understood the importance of mathematics as it would come into the study of social science, where we find here his other fragments on the progress of science always envisioned some form of mathematics, statistics, or calculus as the key method of the social sciences. And here in our business text, again, Gloss and Baker, now Chapter 24, Business Statistics, it says sources of data for business. Both internal and external data gathered by or for a firm for its use are known as primary data. If these facts are published or otherwise released, they're known as secondary data in the hands of subsequent users. And so what are they going to go on and talk about? They're giving you a list now of the places that you can go to find out more information, data, publications that you can access to be able to work your magic of social science better, including the Department of Commerce, the Bureau of Census, Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Department of Agriculture, from non-government sources, the American Iron and Steel Institute, Moody's Investors, Dun and Bradstreet, Brookings Institution, 20th Century Fund, National Industrial Council, Conference Board, and others. All right? It's all together. It's a flow of thought. And it's continuous and acting in our lives today. The widespread application of the calculus of probabilities to moral phenomena, he anticipated, would lead to a momentous development in the study of man and society. And so, as I've mentioned before, this idea of positivism in August Comte's mind and also in his mentor here, Henry St. Simon's mind, this was the idea of putting man at last, putting man into the petri dish and sliding him under the microscope, making man the focus of scientific inquiry in groups, individually and socially in a group. By 1813, St. Simon had made an abrupt departure from this subordination of social sciences to the method of mathematics. He attacked the Brutieres, the ignorant inorganic scientists, for their failure to deal with the moral crisis of the times, proof to him that they had nothing to contribute to a science of man. And again, you know, the brilliance of the mind of John Stuart Mill, as he could see how St. Simon and August Comte and the St. Simonians were working in, they were narrowing this down. He could see how this was all going to come together. You've got to have all of the components in there. Now, not only do you need to have some sort of a positive philosophy, you also need to have some sort of positive polity, just as we find in the writings of Thomas Jefferson. At the same time, you also have to have a system of religion. Got to have it, going to be there. Either one of our choosing or one that's chosen for us is going to be there. His parting thrust at the mathematical scientists, those sorry calculators ensconced behind their rampart of X and Y, was full of disdain. He pushed them angrily from the eminence to which they had been raised in his letters of the habitants of Geneva. And here's a quote. "My blood boils. Rage possesses me. What right have you at this point to occupy the position of scientific advance guard? The human species is involved in one of the severest crises it has ever experienced since the beginning of its existence. What efforts have you made to terminate this crisis?" And this kind of words that we could use about the bankers today in our government. "What methods have you adopted to reestablish order in human society?" Order is really important in the theme of light and liberty, Thomas Jefferson reflections on the pursuit of happiness. Order. Order out of chaos. Order ob chaos. I mean, we go right over to Proofs of Conspiracy, John Robinson, and read about it from the Illuminati standpoint. Again, in all the armies you are found at the head of the artillery, it is you who supervise the works in laying a siege. What are you doing? I ask again to reestablish peace. Nothing. What can you do? Nothing. The knowledge of man is alone capable of leading us to find ways of conciliating the interests of people, and you do not study this science. You've taken only one of its observations, that by flattering those who have power, one obtains the fair favor and shares in their munificence. Leave the direction of the scientific workshop. Allow us to warm its heart, which has become frozen under your presidency, and allow us to recall its entire attention to works which may bring back general peace by reorganizing society. Leave the presidency. We are going to fill it in your place. We're either going to be that replacement set, folks, or we're not. We're either willing to step up to the plate or we're not. And if not now, when? And if not us, who will do it? We still have some semblance of freedom. We do have the internet. And the internet spans the continents, runs around the globe. People listening to this broadcast from all over the world, 24 hours a day through the archives. There are things that we can do. There are some things that we must do. Time is running out. Just the other day, I shared with you that article that Hal Anthony sent to me in regards to rural policing. Before that, we discussed this idea of this rural council. Remember the words of Thomas Paine. Governments are organized for war. Their whole business is war. And when they exhaust themselves waging war on their neighbors, they turn their war effort, their war machine in, and they wage war on their people. Thomas Jefferson had much to say about that. Not ever allowing them to triumph, never allowing the government to triumph. "If ever this vast country," he writes, "is brought under a single government, it will be one of the most extensive corruption indifferent and incapable of a wholesome care over so wide a spread of surface. The time to guard against corruption and tyranny is before they shall have gotten hold of us. It is better to keep the wolf out of the fold than to trust to drawing his teeth and claws after he shall have entered. And as they say, we have to say no. We just have to say no. We have got to block the globalist agenda right where we are in our towns, our cities, and our counties, and our states before, like a cancer, it metastasizes thence within the very body politic. Is my way of expressing what Thomas Jefferson stated back in the early 1800s. Same thought, same urgency, and same need. We have certain perennial issues, things that just don't want to go away. We should have such for an empire for liberty as she never surveyed since the creation. I'm persuaded no constitution was ever so well calculated as ours for the extensive empire and self-government. Okay. Just lots of really stuff. Every man and every body of men on earth possesses the right of self-government. It's not to say that we have anarchy. Far from it. You try it in your own life and you'll see it doesn't work. Every morning when you wake up and you swing your legs out of the bed, you land them on the floor, not on the wall. You don't try and walk to the kitchen via the ceiling. There are certain laws of nature and nature's man, and it's as if it's been written on our very hearts by the if you could say so, the finger of the creator of the universe. And government and self-government and self-reliance are those critical principles, those axioms that everyone has. Look around your house. You have systems, you have developed systems, either of bondage or freedom. How you go about things. Gentlemen, whether you or your wife does the laundry, when you wash the laundry, you don't take it into the closet after you get it out of the dryer and just throw it on the floor of the closet or on the bedroom floor, do you? Well, some might. Others will take the time to fold it up and put it in the drawers and hang it on hangers and put it in the closet. Whether you like it or not, those are rules and regulations. It's self-government. They receive it with their being from the hand of nature, Jefferson wrote. So much of what I'm finding in this book is exactly the same thoughts that I've shared with you on the air. They receive it with their being from the hand of nature. Individuals exercise it by their single will. Collections of men by that of their majority. For the law of the majority is the natural law of every society of men. And some would say, oh, that smacks of majoritarianism. Well, I'm telling you. You got a family, and you got a father sits at one end of the table, mother sits at the other end of the table, maybe. You got three sons and three daughters sitting on either side of the table. It isn't just a food free-for-all. There's a pecking order in every household. And remember, you go down to the local voting precinct level, it starts with every man's farm. There's some that are profligate, there are others that are successful. Some people's places just all run over with weeds. Other people looks like heaven on earth. Well, so much for all that. Thanks for listening. I'll be back again tomorrow. Hope you will be too. And until the next time, good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
Does Ordinary Talk Radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.